Olé! Olé! It's showtime!
You are listening to The Mini Minxes, the UK's newest Disney podcast. It's a mischievous way to start your week. Disney girl power!
Hello everyone and welcome to show number 15. I'm your host Kimmy and I am now joined live in person at the Mini Minxes HQ, otherwise known as Starbucks at Junction 27 near Leeds, Michelle.
Hello there, Kim. I'm all hyped up on coffee.
Yeah, we've had two coffees so far and we're a bit buzzing, and this is the first time we've done this in person, so it's a bit weird sat next to you doing this.
Oh, I like driving in my car though. We're actually outside of Starbucks because we thought the people inside might start looking at us a bit weird if we started recording and talking to a phone. So we thought, hey ho.
No, be honest, you were scared people were going to come running up asking for autographs.
I so do not think that at all. My heavens, but I must admit, it was getting a little bit chilly in that old Starbucks, so I think it's nice and warm in my car.
It is, and we've now left the meeting alcove free after we've taken it up for about 2.5 hours.
We've been busy plotting and planning, haven't we, Kimster?
We have, yeah, and we have got some things planned for the future that hopefully a lot of you will stay around to listen to, because there's some pretty amazing stuff coming up. Speaking of amazing stuff, I suppose I best tell you all what's going on this episode. We are talking to the lovely Scarlett from Touring Plans.
Woohoo!
Now, obviously the boys from Touring Plans get a lot of attention. Seeing as we are all about hashtag Disney Girl Power, we decided to have her on and discuss it all girly style.
We did indeed, and we even found out one or two secrets about our Scarlett and her secret passion for macaroni cheese.
Yes, Scarlett puts macaroni cheese on practically everything.
Sure does.
And not only talking about touring plans, she also discusses a little bit of another one of her passions, which is Dumbo.
Yeah, can't wait to see it in person. It looks amazing.
Yeah. Listen to the interview and you'll understand why I'm just saying, yeah.
Well, as you're listening to this, guys, I won't be around in good old Yorkshire anymore. I'll be sunning myself over in lovely Florida. So I will hopefully get my chance to visit the new Dumbo attraction and enjoy it and feedback a bit more to you about it in a future episode.
Are you trying to make me feel bad or what?
I'll bring you a present.
You best bring me loads of presents.
I've only got 23 kilo luggage allowance, you know. I ain't gone premium economy and getting 46 kilos each.
You mean you're not as posh as you like to think you are?
I'm definitely not posh, love. I'm from Leeds.
Oh, I don't know what you like. Also then on this show, we have Michelle's Kieran coming back. Well, I think that's it really for what's coming up on this episode. Before we move on, I believe Michelle just wants to talk about feedback that we've had on the last show, and then we'll get on with the rest of the show.
Well, as you've just said there, Kim, we've had a lot of feedback on the last show.
Definitely.
I'm going to start with some feedback that I've had through on our Twitter feed. From Alicia Du Plessis, apologies if I pronounced that wrong, I'm really sorry, who's a listener of ours from New York. And she tweeted out, after listening to the Mini Minxes last podcast, I will be very grateful for the selection I have at the Disney Store. So I asked her and said, you know, what's it like in your local Disney Store? Mine is an outlet store, so there are clearance items from parks and other Disney stores, and also some new things. Sounds like she's got an amazing resource nearby her, doesn't it, Kim?
It does, but in fairness, she does live in one of the greatest cities in the world.
Well, true. Yeah, so that was one comment we've had about the Disney stores. Have you had any, Kim?
Yeah, I have had one from Kirsty Shaw, and this girl is right after my own heart. She said, hi guys, in response to your last show, I couldn't agree more with Kimmy. Yay! Disney Store won't let adults spend money for themselves. I was told by one of the managers that they are trying to duplicate the park shops. I replied with, that won't happen as long as you sell nothing for adults. There is no care for vinyls and pins. The staff have no care for Disney and very basic knowledge. But there is walls of baby stuff, so all is okay, they seem to think. She is good, isn't she, this Kirsty? If the park shops can do it well, I can't understand why we can't here. No, I can't either, Kirsty. Or at least make delivery free. Yep, that was one of my ideas. I go into the shops wanting to spend my money and they just seem not to want to let me. Unless I want to buy Marvel figures or princess dresses, which I don't. I need my collections. I wrote complaints about stocking and lack of staff knowledge, but nothing changes. It makes me fume. It does me, Kirsty, as well, don't you worry, love. I could go on and on. I love the show as usual, though. So that's our Kirsty.
We could fill a show going on and on and on about the Disney show. And the next one is from the lovely Joe Worthington. And he starts, "Here is my feedback for your special assistant show. It was really interesting to hear Kathy Kelly discuss all the support which is available at Walt Disney World for guests with disabilities, especially for myself as a diabetic. Although I've never needed any help whilst at the park, it's great to know there's always help there if anything does go wrong. One of the things which I love the most about Disney parks is that they are available to and can be enjoyed by anyone, no matter what special assistance they need. Thank you, Michelle, as well for sharing your experiences with your son. I was really pleased to hear you were going to discuss the state of the Disney store here in the UK, as I always love to hear other people's views of our stores. Personally, I feel the state of Vinylmation here has been improving dramatically this year. I have two stores close by, Manchester and the Trafford Centre, which both sell an alright amount of vinyls, although I have to admit they are definitely not displayed correctly. Something else I like about those stores is that they both have pins to trade, meaning I can get my pin trading fix when away from the parks. Something I would love to see here though more is adult clothing. I would love to buy a good Disney tee or hoodie up here. As for rope drop, I have to admit that my family and I sleeping too late to ever been at that park for opening. I have, however, got to the World Showcase when it opens at 11 a.m. Does that count? It sounds is a bit like you, Kimster.
Yeah, Joe, I don't think I've even ever made the opening of World Showcase either. I must have still been asleep.
Oh, I've seen videos of the Magic Kingdom show so many times, though. I love it. I bet it would be wonderful to watch. I'd also like to say congratulations on the number of wonderful guests you have had on the show over the past few weeks. Well done. Best wishes, Joe. Oh, bless his cotton socks.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It's nice to get feedback like that. Really do appreciate it. And we're glad that people are enjoying the guests.
Definitely. If you want to follow Joe on Twitter, he's at Cruella's Fur Coat, and Joe does a wonderful weekly news show all about what's coming up in Disney and also reviewing his purchases, because Joe has got an amazing collection of Disney goodies, hasn't he, Kim?
He has, but he Kimmy-proofed his room back in May and I can't get in it. I've tried.
I'd be a little bit worried if you want to get into another young gentleman's room with your beloved husband being so nice to you at the moment. But more about Aaron later.
Yes. Next comment we had was from the lovely Tara. And Tara was on our show not too long ago talking about Disneyland Paris.
She was indeed.
And she has also just started a brand new podcast with her husband called In My Disney Opinion. So if you like to hear a husband and wife argue, it's the proper best Disney podcast to listen to.
It's not an argument, it's a debate.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Anyway, on to the comments.
I'd like to see the outtakes where Tara refuses to cook any dinner for Mark unless he agrees with her point of view.
I could quite imagine that as well.
Quite interesting. Anyway, it's a good podcast. Make sure you go over to iTunes and subscribe.
Yes.
Sorry, let's hear what Tara's got to say.
Well, Tara says, "Just listened to episode 14 about special assistants. And what a lovely and informative episode it was for us who haven't experienced a Disney park with a special needs person. I do agree that it can be easily taken advantage of because of their disability law, i.e. not needing doctor's notes and proof, etc. Because when we were in Disneyland Resort last year and saw huge groups skipping and running into rides when one person had a guest assistance card, we jokingly wondered how easy it was to get one. The next morning I went into guest services and inquired about them, and the lady said I didn't have to tell her my condition, just what my concerns were about getting onto an attraction. Now I do have a condition which causes me a lot of pain, especially from a lot of walking. I also have a bad knee and a bad ankle. Personally, nothing major. And I simply told her that I had a lot of pain in my foot, ankle and knee from all the walking and standing too long. And I got a guest assistance card. Now, as this was just to see if I'd get one on those simple yet factual conditions, we did not use it, as I didn't need one. But we were very amazed at how easy it was. So unfortunately, it is something that can be easily abused. Wow.
Oh, I remember Tara writing about that on her blog, saying that she'd got a guest assistance card, and I agree with her. It is unfortunate that there are people out there that will get these cards just so they can get everything done in 6 hours in Disney, and I think that's the wrong attitude that we're trying to promote. It's not just about getting on the number of rides, it's stepping back a pace or two and enjoying the ambience and the little details rather than just running ride to ride, really. So it's a shame because it's not fair on those people who desperately need to have this assistance. You know, having used one, I know how important it was for our holiday.
Well, I completely agree with what Tara said. I mean, the whole episode, as people know, I didn't speak from the intro all the way through the segment, but it made me look at it completely different, and like I said in the previous show, I will definitely now react differently when I see somebody that will possibly need guest assistance. I will get out of the way, I will make sure that I'm not in their way, I will try and, you know, accommodate the needs that they need.
True.
Which is something else I think a lot of people don't sort of consider when they're on holiday. You know, you see somebody in a wheelchair, oh, I'll just cut in front of them because they're taking too long. Unfortunately,
true,
things like that happen.
They do, my love, they do.
But thanks for that, Tara. It was very, very, very informative, and like you say, hopefully they might be able to improve that.
Yeah, well, our last piece of feedback we've got is from Michael Allen, who we both met up at Mouse Meets this year, didn't we, Kim?
We did. He is an amazing guy, and his friend, who is Tommy, is even better. I was giving Tommy some big, big, sloppy hugs and kisses.
Yeah, Tommy's got four legs. He's a dog, by the way, just, you know. And I don't mean that in a derogatory term, i.e. they're not a very nice person. It is actually a dog that barks and goes for walkies, etc. But he is Michael's assistance for when he is about and travelling around, because Michael is visually impaired. And he writes, good show, you guys. Enjoyed the section on special needs. If you need any info on travelling as a visually impaired person using the audio description in Disney World, give me a shout. All the best. And then he furthers this, I'm particularly enjoying the show. It's nice and relaxed with a good old northern feel rather than the southern stuff. Oh, well, it's nice to be appreciated for being a northern lass, isn't it, love?
It is, yeah. It ain't all grim up the north.
Well, we're not right up north, are we?
Well, I don't know how much more north we can get.
Northumberland? Newcastle?
Yeah, well, they're not Yorkshire lads and lasses, though, are they? We're talking Emmerdale Farm. And grrr, where's me pie, and where's me sheep, and where's me dingle?
I don't have any sheep.
Well, you just have to pretend you do.
All right, okay. What else does he say? He says, I used the audio description service on my last couple of trips to Disney. The first time, a bit hit and miss, as it was quite new. But last year, it was much better, as they now include information about the area you're in, as well as the details of the attraction itself. If I can be any help, just give me a shout. As you can guess, I did not take Tommy, my guide dog, with me, as he had 2 weeks' rest. However, we did see a couple of assistance dogs while in Walt Disney World. You guys take care. Why don't we have a mini minx meetup sometime for us reasonably located northerners? That's an idea, isn't it?
Aye, that's a grand idea.
We could invite everyone to our secret mini minx headquarters.
Oh no, because they might nick the secret alcove that's so hard to get.
We'd have to dig a tunnel though through next to next door to Krispy Kreme and raid all the donuts.
True. But I don't think that'll go down right well with my Slimming World coach.
No, it wouldn't do with mine either. No. Not a good idea then. But I just want to say thank you, everybody who gets in touch with us. It's so lovely to have such wonderful feedback and also you guys getting involved and becoming now part of the show. That's what it's all about. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Please do keep in touch. It's stuff like this and it's feedback like this that make, you know, me and Michelle were saying it when we met up at headquarters. It's stuff like this that make the show worthwhile. For us, personally, it's, you know, it's not about the listening figures. It's not about, you know, who's got who on what show. It's getting the positive feedback from you guys, and that's what makes it all worthwhile for us.
Yeah, definitely. Right, well, we've got a few things we're going to share with you in the show. So, shall we have a little bit of a Scarlet on now, Kim? What do you think?
Yeah, let's get our Scarlet on. Hashtag Disney Girl Power.
Well, everyone, we are proud to continue our regularly scheduled show.
Okay, so joining us today on the Mini Minxes is the wonderful and hidden gem of touringplans.com, Scarlet Ashley.
Hi guys, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, Scarlet, and it's not very often we get to hear from the girls of touringplans.com. It's usually the boys hogging all the light.
Yep, well, luckily, there's only a couple of us girls, so I guess it's a little more difficult. But yeah, the boys definitely are the stars of the show usually.
Well, you see, we know deep down who is in charge, you know. It's definitely Disney Girl Power all the way for us, isn't it, Kim?
Most definitely. Behind every group of men, there'll always be two amazing, fantastic women organising everything just to make them look good.
Now you give away our secret, love.
So, Scarlet, for the people out there that might not have heard of Touring Plans, do you want to tell us a little bit about it and what you actually do there?
Sure. So, Touring Plans is basically everything you need to plan your perfect Disney vacation. We have three major tools that we have for people. The first one is Touring Plans, which is what our company is named for, and it's basically a plan to help you tour the parks. So you go to the site and we have pre-made touring plans where you can say, you know, I'm going to Magic Kingdom. I'm going with my children who are, you know, my boys who are 4 and 6. And there's a plan there for you on how to do Magic Kingdom with boys of that age. And it tells you what ride to go on first and second and third and what order to do everything in order to save the most time. We're all about saving you time because time is money. So there are also things now, we do optimized touring plans where you can go and you can create a whole plan. You say, I want to do these 10 attractions. And our fancy computer software will take those attractions and put them into a list and tell you how to do everything. One of our other services is the Lines smartphone application. And if you actually have a optimized touring plan, you can put it in your phone. And after every step that you do, you can re-optimize. So if your first step is Space Mountain, but your second step is supposed to be Buzz Lightyear, but what if Buzz Lightyear has like gone down or is broken or for some reason it has a 3-hour line? The app will tell you that and it will redo your touring plan on the fly so that you, again, save the most time possible. Also in that app, you can get current wait times and fast pass times for all the attractions in the park and for the other parks. So if you're considering park hopping, you can look at what the lines are like elsewhere. It also has show times so that you can, you know, if you're like, oh, what time is the next Dapper Dan's show? You can just look it up and it's all right there in the app. And then our third big product is the crowd calendar. We have taken every day of the year and ranked it on a scale of 1 to 10 to tell you how crowded that park is. So, obviously, big days like Christmas and 4th of July and New Year's are 10 days. Like, they're insane. But then when you start looking at, like, early October, February, like, early February, some of these kind of off times, you'll see much lower numbers, like 2s, 3s, and 4s. And so that's touring plans. We also have a blog and a really great website. Everyone should check that out, touringplans.com. But then what I do, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm talking so much.
No,
it's
no.
Just so much awesome stuff. What I do for touring plans is I'm our lead researcher here in Orlando. So me and my team of people are the ones who gather a lot of the data that we use to put into the app. We also, like, on our website now, we have full menus for every Walt Disney World restaurant, bar, cart, like, even, like, the little popcorn carts, like, everything. We have those menus on the website, and they're updated, like, constantly. So I do a lot of that research and wait time research, and we time buses to tell you how long it's going to take to get from point A to point B. Like, all of that stuff I coordinate. But then I'm the blog manager, so I'm in charge of the blog posts that go out. I also do a lot of our Twitter interaction. So a lot of times if you're interacting, it's with me when I'm out and about in the parks. And then I also just am kind of all the boys, you know, if they need something done, they can come to me and I can get it done. So, you know, lots of little stuff.
Great stuff. And I personally know from experience, because when I booked my holiday about a year ago, first thing I did is I went to the touring plans website and I put in the days I was going on holiday, and it's tracked them over the year for me. And whenever there was a change in your data, it sent me an email saying, oh, we've changed Magic Kingdom to a 2.3 and Epcot to a 5.6. This is now a park to avoid. So even I didn't even have to go back to the website, because everything was sent through to me on an email. And that's the star thing for me, because I was able to update where I was planning on going and then fit in my dining around it. So I love it.
Right. Well, and one thing I think is really great too is because it's happened to me before, like, because I live here, I don't always plan out big trips, but, like, when my mom comes to visit, we do, like, the big, it's like she's on her big Disney World vacation, and so I use the crowd calendar, I use everything, and it's happened to me before where a couple weeks before my trip, before my mom comes, you know, I have all my ADRs and everything's ready, and I get that email saying, the park I want to go to that day is a park to avoid.
Oh, no.
Right. And the thing that I love so much is that I don't have to panic, because I can always use a touring plan. Like, those touring plans have been tested on, I've done them on, like, New Year's Eve in the Magic Kingdom, where the park is at capacity at, like, 10 a.m. We've used the touring plans then and have still gone on, like, every single ride in the park. 2 New Year's Eves ago, it was, like, 2 in the afternoon, and we had already done, like, 23 attractions. Like, so no matter how busy the day is, if you have a touring plan, even if it's a park to avoid, even if it's an insane day, you can still see the things you want to see as long as you have a good plan.
I did it on Easter Sunday last year. Busy, busy day in the parks.
Yeah.
And I followed my plan and I got through everything I wanted to do by about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I was just able to wander around, soak up the atmosphere until the parade, and it was fantastic, really good. And I do love now that you've added the menus, because when I'm waiting for my table to be ready, say Coral Reef, I'm there looking at the menu and thinking, ooh, I could have that. So when I get in the restaurant, I know what I'm going to have because I've read it on my little phone. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's really nice too, because the menus all work within the app. Like, they're all mobile ready. Like, you don't have to deal with a messy website or anything. And so it's so nice. Like, there have been so many times when I'm with my boyfriend, like, and he's driving to the park and I'm in the passenger seat going, hey, let's see what ADRs are available. And I'll, like, search on the Disney mobile site to find places. And then we'll, like, I'll also be looking up the menus. And we just do everything, like, all right on our phones to plan our dining even at the last minute. And I'm a last minute person, usually, being a local, and that just, it makes me so happy.
Fantastic stuff. Now, obviously, it comes with a price. People will be amazed that it's not a great big price, is it, Scarlett?
No, it's really not. It's funny. My family doesn't understand my job a whole lot. They get very confused about what I do because they're not super technology people. So my sister came to visit me recently, and I was telling her about what I do, and I was really like telling her, you know, about all of our features and all this stuff, and she was like, oh my gosh, she was like, I can't even imagine how expensive that is. She was like, how much money do people pay for that? And I was like, it's $11.95 a year. And she was like, what do you mean? She's like, you mean it's like $100? I was like, no. I was like, it's $11.95 a year. So yeah, it's, you know.
It is so worth it. And especially what I found out over the years is that sometimes I get a very nice email saying if you resubscribe within the next 7 days and use this code, you can have it for a couple of dollars cheaper as well. So that saved me a few dollars as well. So I've had it last year for, I think, $10.
Yeah.
Better. It's amazing.
Yep, we try to run, you know, specials. Or also, if you buy the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World, there's a discount code in the book as well.
Even better, we can save our listeners fortunes in money and also in time. And that's what it's about when you've got busy days in the parks, you've got children with you, and if you don't go without a plan, you can waste so much time wondering, oh, where should we start? Oh, where the crowd's going to be? Oh, I don't want to be queuing up for Pirates for more than 35 minutes. Fantastic stuff. So how long have you been working for them?
I've been with them for almost 2 years now. So yeah, I was a Touring Plans user, and in the Lines smartphone app, there's actually a chat feature where you can chat with other Disney fans and people in the parks and stuff. And I was really active in chat. I was pregnant with my second son, and I was at home, and I had a lot of time kind of playing with my phone or whatever. And I started to get to know people, and I started going to meets, like Touring Plans. We have a meet once a month. Back then, they didn't do it so often, but I started going to meets and like meeting all the people, and that's actually how I ended up with this job, just kind of because I was a user who was very dedicated, and they needed help with some stuff, and so yeah.
Fantastic. So you've mentioned that about Touring Plans. You have two lovely young boys.
Yep.
I gather you do a bit of running.
Yes.
Kim and I are not into the running theme, really. It's not for us, so we'll gloss over that.
I didn't think it was for me either. I used to say that for me to run, there needed to be a bear or an ice cream truck involved. But there was just all of the Disney races just seemed so fun, like, and all the cool characters you could meet, and like the medals were cute, and I kind of just wanted to see if I could do it. So I'm definitely not a runner, but I like meeting characters and I like doing Disney things, so it's just kind of worked out.
How many runs have you done now, Scarlett?
Oh my gosh, one. Like, only one. But I'm doing the Tower of Terror 10-miler in September. I've never run 10 miles in my life, and I'm so scared.
Oh, my heavens. I think the only way it'd get me and Kim running is if there was something like a funnel cake on a stick in front of us at high speed. I don't mind power walking. I'm okay with that, but we'll see. We'll see. Another great love of yours is a film close to my heart as well, which is Dumbo. And over the next sort of few months, we're going to start talking about different rides that we have over at Walt Disney World. And we thought, since we have a fellow Dumbo fan with us on the show, we could start talking a little bit about the Dumbo ride, because it's undergone a little bit of a change, hasn't it?
It has indeed. I think it's a change for the better, but definitely a big change.
Because the ride itself was open on the park's opening day, so it's an original feature of the park on opening day. Differs a little bit to Disneyland, because Disneyland does have the the water feature and the original Dumbo ride at Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World didn't. Now, the ride has moved from its old place next to the carousel to a new place in what was Toontown. But there's not just one spinning Dumbo now. There are two, each going different direction. And I gather also there is the new interactive tent area that's open. Have you actually been in that area, and can you talk us through how it works?
I have been in this area. As I said, I have two little boys, and they're 1 and 3. So Dumbo is always on our list of things to do. So the way it works now is you go and you approach the Dumbos, and you go and you kind of go around Dumbo into the tent. And once you get inside the big tent, there's a little bit of a line and you wait, but then you get to a counter. And it's similar. I don't know if you guys do that over here, but in America, it's popular, like at restaurants, like especially at chains, where you get the pager while you're waiting, like for your table.
Yeah.
Do you guys do that?
Yeah. TGI Fridays and the like do that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So it's just like that. Like you go, you tell them how many people are in your party, and they give you a pager, and then they let you loose into the play area. And it's basically just a big playground for the kids, and there's seating and stuff for the adults, but it's a big playground with stuff to climb on, and they have like a separate little toddler area with like smaller stuff, and there's, you know, nets and ropes and slides and some interactive features. Like there's a thing where you can pull on some strings and like fake fireworks go off and stuff, and it's just this whole like big play area for the kids to run around until your pager goes off. And then once your pager goes off, you go, you hand it back in at the desk, and they put you into another little line. They send you either right or left to go onto one of the Dumbos. And then you wait. I've never waited at that point more than like 2 Dumbo cycles. Mm-hmm. And then you get on the ride.
So is all the queuing area predominantly now inside?
Yes, it is almost entirely inside. There is some like extended area that can go outside. And obviously right before you load, it is outside. But the bulk of it is all inside, and it's all air-conditioned.
Cool. Now, just between us, being an adult Dumbo fan, I don't really fancy the noisy children's play area when I'm going on holiday without the children. Is there any way of skipping the tented area?
The best way right now to skip the tented area is Fastpass. The fast pass, there is still some line in the tent. Mm-hmm. So you're still kind of in there, but you're a little bit removed from the playground. And again, I don't know how it is there, but like here we have some like McDonald's that have the big play areas, and it's like so loud and echoey, you kind of want to like, your head feels like it's going to explode. This is not that kind of playground. Like, I don't know how they set up the acoustics or whatever, but yes, it's loud. It's a playground. But it's not that, like, horrible, deafening, I want to shoot myself in the face loud. Like, if you're just in line, it's really not that bad. So get a fast pass for Dumbo. And right now, like, these fast passes are not running out. Like, they're available all day. So get a fast pass, and you will skip most of that playground area.
Yay! I don't want to sound like I'm being a spoilsport. I don't mind children being in the Magic Kingdom. I wouldn't go as far as banning them. It's just I don't want to sort of have to put up with too much of their noise, if you know what I mean.
Right, no, I get it. Just like when I go out on a date without my kids, like with my boyfriend, we do not go eat at Chuck E. Cheese. Do you guys have Chuck E. Cheese? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what it is, but we don't have it over here.
Okay. Yeah, I understand not hating kids, but not wanting to spend a bunch of time with them.
Yeah, like when I take my children over there, they're sort of past that stage now, you know, the 15 and 12, so it's, you know, they wouldn't want to go and play on the Dumbo play area. Well, I don't know, Kieran might, I don't know. What about you, Kim, what do you think to it?
Well, to be honest, and I'm going to upset you both now, I have never been or felt the urge to actually go on Dumbo.
Wow.
No!
Well, I don't have any children. There's only ever me and my husband that go. And I don't know. It's crossed us minds. We saw it. Back then, we saw the massive queues in the hot blazing sun. And we just thought, no, I don't really want to be queuing up and waiting for that.
Oh, but you get a little ticket and you get in your little, they call them a gondola thingy, and you get a little joystick and you can move the elephant up, you can move the elephant down. It's ace!
I do kind of, like, see what you're saying. Like, I remember being a kid, mm-hmm. and when I grew up in Southern California, so we went to Disneyland when I was a kid. And even though, like, I loved Dumbo and I loved that character, I never wanted to wait in that line.
No.
Like, that line was insane. And I remember even being a small child and just being like, no, we're not going to ride that. That's crazy. But now, like, as a grown-up, now that I'm an adult and I know that if I get to the park early or if I stay late at night, that line isn't very long.
Yeah.
Now it's something I've embraced more because I do feel such a strong connection to that character. I like the ride a lot more. And my children, because they've grown up with me instead of with my mom, who made me stand in a really long line, like, they love Dumbo because they know, you know, because they've never had to wait in a 40-minute line for it. We always go early in the morning. So I understand what you're saying, but I think you should give it a try next time you're here.
No, I most definitely will.
So you've got quite a list for your next trip now, Kim. You've got to do Tower of Terror and you've got Dumbo.
Every time a guest comes on, I have to go try something new because it sounds like I don't really go on anything but Stitch, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Kim's the one person in the park that actually likes Stitch.
No, I like Stitch also.
Stitch is awesome. I would ride that attraction over and over again from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. I wouldn't get bored. I'd laugh every time. And if they ever take that down, I think I'd be heartbroken.
Yeah, I think I don't feel quite that strongly about it, but I think it's a great ride. I think the animatronics are really awesome. Like, that Stitch animatronic is incredible. And, like, the cool, like, laser gun arms, like, those are really fancy and awesome. The pre-show is super cute. I think it's funny. Also, my kids can't ride it. My kids are still too short. So I don't have, like, I know a lot of parents get angry because it makes their kids scared.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't experienced that yet. So I like it. I think it's a fun ride, too.
It's a good job they actually have the overhead harnesses, because when that Stitch animatronic comes out, my husband has to practically hold me to my seat to stop me from jumping up and giving it a massive great big hug. Because it's so lifelike and it's so... I just want to give it a big hug.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm with you. I get it.
You see, I'm not with the Stitch. No. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Can I float us back a little bit to Dumbo then? Because one thing when I was doing a little bit of research, I found its original incarnation for Disneyland was it was originally going to be called the 10 Pink Elephants on Parade. However, Walt decided he didn't want that because he didn't want to have his guests riding on an attraction that was based on a hallucination. So the elephants were then painted grey, as they are now today. And I thought that was quite an interesting thing. Is that they should have been pink? And as my favourite colour is pink, I think they should be pink.
I agree. That's one of my favourite scenes in any movie ever. And I think it would be super fun if that's what the ride was.
Yeah, but it's... absolutely fantastic, because I gather the story is told around in little friezes around the main central pier of the ride as well, isn't it? I've seen pictures of different scenes, and it does actually show the pink elephant scene on it.
It does. I'm very picky about my Dumbo and which color I want to ride in. And... it used to always be the pink Dumbo, but now they don't really have just a pink one. And, like, the pink one they have has kind of, like, an ugly, like, orange trim. And I think orange is the worst color ever. So the Dumbo I have selected that I always ride in, it's purple with pink trim. But it is right next to the pink elephants on parade, like, picture. Like, it's right next to that panel. And so that's why it's mine.
Scarlett, I'm getting this image in my head where The cast members have got you all lined up. Ready, steady, go. The gate opens and you're flooring and jumping on kids just to get to this one elephant.
Oh my gosh, I do. It's so shameful. And it's funny because, like, I always, like, eyeball who's in front of me. And if it's little boys, I don't worry so much because boys don't want the pink Dumbo usually. But if it's little girls, I'll, like, even while we're still in the, like, little corral where they hold you, I'll, like, try to, like, edge up and be like, oh, they said fill in all the available space. And I'll, like, step in front of little kids. It's so bad.
Pink pachyderms. That's what I'm thinking about at the moment. My word of the day is that. Hey ho.
I mean, don't you think, though? I mean, Dumbo Ride is fantastic. But, like I said before, it doesn't appeal to me because I see it as a kid's ride. But wouldn't it have been amazing if they could have done, like, a Dumbo Dark Ride where they retold the story of Dumbo? Something similar to, like, say, Winnie the Pooh or Peter Pan.
If they retold the story of Dumbo in a dark ride, I would spend all day crying hysterically because they would probably have it. They would have an animatronic of, like, the mom holding Dumbo in her trunk while she's in jail, and I would cry so hard I would not be able to stop all day long.
The song "Baby Mine" comes on, and that's it. The tears are rolling down my face.
Ugh. Yes.
And yeah, you know, retelling the story, but you are with the freezes round the pier. It's just not done vocally, though, I suppose, Kim, is it? And it's obviously in daylight.
True.
Yeah.
But I suppose all the rides in Disney World can't make all adults happy. It just would have been nice to, for me personally, and I can't say, I've not ridden it, so I've not seen the story on the pillar, or what did you call it, Michelle? The
pier thing.
The pier. I've not seen that, so maybe if I ride that and then I saw that, I might think slightly differently, but to me, from an adult with no children, it just does look like a children's ride. And the same with the carpets of Agrabah, the same with any sort of ride that just spins. And I think that's a detriment to us adults who just ignore it, because, like you say, there are hidden details on there that we possibly might not have noted if people like you weren't recommending us to go on it.
What you should do is next time, go on it at night. Like, even though you kind of don't care, but I'm serious, like, in the water effects, they have some really cool lighting that goes on at night, and it's all, like, pretty colors, and it's really fun. It's so neat. Like, just go and ride it at night. Or if you really just don't want to ride it, just go look at it. Like, go stand over there and watch as, like, the Dumbos are going around, and the light effects, and the water, and you can see, like, the pictures and everything, like, along the base. Like, it's so pretty, and it's such, like, it's silly because there's, like, circus music playing, but when it's at night and all the kids have gone to bed, it's so calming. Like, even with, like, the crazy, like, doo 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 doo, like, it's still just, like, it's such a peaceful place, and it's so pretty, and it's so cool, and you really just need to check it out.
And you don't get funny looks from cast members because you've got no children.
No, it's Disney.
Heaven's sake, I went on that ride with my bridal ears on, and I didn't get any funny looks.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bit too paranoid.
Nah. You're gonna have to give it a go, love.
Think about all these, like, grown men bloggers who have to do these stories. Like, so many of these sites have had reports on the playground, and you know it's these grown men walking around the playground all by themselves. You will not look creepier than that. So just go look.
No, I will most definitely try it on our next trip.
Yay, we've convinced you. You might as well just make this trip a month long, you know, Kim, with all the rides we're making you now do.
You're making it sound like I don't ride anything when I go over. I do.
Shall we go through the rides you don't actually do then? Or we'll be here till tomorrow.
Well, you can try. It'd probably be easy to say what I do ride.
Probably, yeah. I have the philosophy is you try everything once, and if you don't like it, you don't go on it again.
I have that philosophy, but when I get up to the Tower of Terror or Rock and Roller Coaster, I suddenly go pale, turn around the other way, and decide to change my philosophy.
Oh, you'll get there. You'll get there, love.
But someday.
Yeah, sure. We'll pass her on. We'll pass her on.
I have a friend who actually lives in London who was terrified of Rock and Roller Coaster. I would never go on it. And I convinced him to go on it. And it was the greatest thing ever. And he wanted to go again afterwards. If he can do it, you can too.
Oh, no.
Totally convinced. But it's the same ride mechanism on the carpets of Aladdin. And I've not gelled with that. Maybe it's because I don't like the Aladdin story as much as I like Dumbo. So I didn't gel with that ride. And it's exactly the same. You move a little joystick to go up and down and it spins round. Mm. It's just themed differently. But give it a go.
Yeah. I agree with you. Like, I connect much more to Dumbo, and I want to ride that. Like, the only time I ride the carpets is if my kids want to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not something that's on my list.
Cool. So, to finish off, we've covered Dumbo. So, apart from Dumbo, Magic Kingdom, we like to ask all our guests, put them on the spot at this point. What's your favourite ultimate attraction at Magic Kingdom?
Hands down, Splash Mountain.
Yay.
But yeah, like, I remember being a kid and it opening and being terrified, but then, like, absolutely adoring it. And it was, to me, like, it was my first big kid ride.
Aww.
Like, and I just, it's still, it just makes me happy. Like, all the singing and dancing and, I don't know, I love it.
Now, you see that ride I have been on, but I will be honest and say that I am absolutely petrified of it. However, I deem that the inside scenes are worth being petrified for them few seconds while I'm being hovered over that drop at the end.
See? Yeah. Good choice there. What about over at Disney's Hollywood Studios?
Oh man, I hate Hollywood Studios so much.
Why do you hate it?
Oh, I think it's hot and everything is concrete and it's just, like, the theming, like, there's no real, like, the theme just isn't on, like, the same level as, like, Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot to do there. But I guess I have to say Star Tours. I have a special love for Star Tours because, I don't know if you guys know, I sat out in front of it for, like, 6 weeks waiting for it to open when they did the redo.
I remember seeing the tweets.
Yeah, so I was, and like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I have a big love for Star Tours. That's probably my favorite. Although, even though it's not an attraction, I have to say my favorite thing in Hollywood Studios is the macaroni and cheese hot dog they sell at Fairfax Fair.
Oh dear.
I've never had that. That might be something else I might have to try, Scarlett.
It's a hot dog with macaroni and cheese and bacon and truffle oil.
Ooh. Now, well,
it's magic.
Well, I've not been on the updated Star Tours ride yet, so I'd say mine's Tower of Terror, but I know it won't be yours, Kim, will it?
No, my favourite attraction will be The Muppets 3D.
Oh, we like The Muppets.
Me too. That's a good one.
Yeah, and having a picture taken by Singing in the Rain. I like that bit. I always have it taken there. Not an attraction, but it's just fun. So where else have I got? Animal Kingdom. What are your views on Animal Kingdom?
Man, I love Animal Kingdom so much. I know so many people dislike it. I love, love, love Animal Kingdom. And my favorite attraction is probably Expedition Everest. I think that's a really, like, A-plus roller coaster. So good.
True.
Even though the Yeti doesn't work. But I never saw it work, so I guess I'm not disappointed.
I've heard rumors they're doing something to it at the moment.
Yeah, so they've rotated it a little bit. And one of the theories that actually came from Kevin Yee, and I don't remember the name of his website, so I feel horrible, but his Twitter handle is Cafe Orleans. But he has a theory that they're going to actually, like, turn the Yeti's arm into, like, a puppet thing and, like, have a thing that pulls his arm up and down so he'll, like, swipe at you when you go by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most realistic sounding of all the options. And the way they've turned him, like, his arm is so close to the cars now.
Right.
So I think,
I'm glad you said swipe, though, because I was, when you said puppet in his arm, I was imagining him doing like a royal wave like the Queen as you were going past.
That would be hilarious.
Well, Kevin Yee's, is his, oh gosh, it's Ultimate Orlando, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Ultimate Orlando Blogspot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think where I read it about. Finally, we're down to Epcot. What do you like there?
So, Epcot is not a park I usually go to for attractions. I go to Epcot to eat or to spend time with my friends or to get a snack or whatever. But my favorite ride there is Living with the Land.
Aww.
I like Living with the Land a lot. And I like going because I live here. So we go, I try to go like once a month or so and I can like watch the plants grow because we go so often.
Which did you prefer, Scarlett? Cast member in the boat or the version where it's just an audio only?
I actually never saw a cast member in the boat.
Really?
I visited Disney World for my first and second birthday back in the 80s, but I don't really remember those trips. And then I didn't come as an adult until 3 years ago when I moved to Orlando.
Right.
So Epcot, as it is now, is the only Epcot I've ever known. Like, I don't know anything about Horizons or the Wonders of Life Pavilion or Original Figment. Like, I don't really know any of that stuff. So this is the only Living with the Land I know, but I love it.
It's kind of cool, I must admit.
And that isn't that the attraction where you can do Behind the Seeds tour?
Yes. Which is a tour I highly recommend. It's really fun.
So, Scarlett, another question. Sorry, I'm jumping in and just pushing Michelle out of the way.
It's all right. I'm used to it now.
Where's your favourite place to eat at the Magical World, if you can pick one place?
My favourite restaurant on property is Jiko.
Ah, interesting choice. Why Jiko?
Because that filet with macaroni and cheese is made of heaven. Also, they have an appetizer. They have like a wild boar appetizer that I've recently become a super huge fan of, even though I didn't think I would ever eat wild boar. Definitely Jiko.
Getting a bit of a macaroni and cheese fan.
I eat like a 6-year-old most of the time. Like, I'm really into hot dogs and chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese. But then also, I'm a big filet person. Like, I'm really into my filets. So Jiko combines my two favorite things. Also, they have an extensive wine list. So that helps.
I've never eaten there myself, but maybe it's worth me looking into that as well.
Put it on the list.
I've not eaten there, and I don't know why. I don't think either there or Burma, just neither of them got my taste buds going. I don't know. Didn't fancy either of the menus.
Yeah, if you do go to Jiko, the filet, like, now it comes with, like, potatoes and some other stuff. But if you ask for it, they'll give it to you with macaroni and cheese, if you want to be fancy like that.
Oh, well, I'll bear that in mind if I do decide to change any ADRs for the 57,000th time.
Every time I talk to Michelle Scarlett, she's changed an ADR.
I understand. I get it. Been there.
I can't help it. The menus keep changing and I think, oh, I fancy that.
I expected you to change it maybe once or twice, but it is literally every time I speak to you, Michelle, and I speak to you nearly every day, you have changed an ADR.
I've not changed any for at least
4 days.
No, I did look today. I've spare 5 minutes and I thought, oh, I'll just have a look. Maybe I can change my 1900 Park Fair ADR and maybe change it to something else. But I blame AJ Wolf. She keeps on bringing out these amazing reviews of different places and I keep thinking, oh, well, I've got to eat there. AJ says it's fantastic, so blaming her.
I blame AJ often too. You know what else? Can I give you another thing you have to try? I'm so sorry to do this to you.
Go on.
Have you been to Baby Cakes at Downtown Disney, the bakery?
Oh, it just opened after we left last year, so haven't been, but it's on said list.
Okay, because the thing is, normally, like, their stuff is all vegan and gluten-free and, like, soy-free and dairy-free, like, everything free, which to me, usually I associate with being taste-free. But Baby Cakes has like some of the most amazing stuff. They recently came out with a French toast cupcake.
Wow.
I am not kidding. It's the most delicious cupcake I've ever eaten in my entire life. Like, you have to go and get a French toast cupcake. It will make you cry. It's so delicious.
That sounds really nice.
I've seen pictures and I've seen live feed from people who've been doing live shows from there. So it's, oh, and it includes Disney dining plan, so I can use some snack credits on some cupcakes. So.
Yeah, like every single thing at Baby Cakes, I believe, is a snack credit.
Oh, fantastic. I've come back and look like a cupcake, what I can.
Yep, and they also, if you run out of credits, they do like annual pass discounts and I think DVC discounts and cast member discounts. Like, they do discounts for everybody.
But Scarlett, do they do a macaroni cheese cupcake?
No, if they did, I would never leave. You guys, I'm not kidding. I'm like, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to dinner with some friends and we're going to a place that has macaroni and cheese pizza. So into putting macaroni and cheese on my food, and I didn't realize how much it was a thing until like today.
Oh, dearie me. Oh. And I just can't eat pasta. I'm not very good with wheat products. I'm sort of gluten-y, wheaty type, having issues. So I think Baby Cakes for me, I'll ask them not to do any with any macaroni if you don't mind. But I'll have to go and give that one a look-see. Right, well, I'll get my composure back after all that talk of food and rides, and it's making me want to go back to my second home, but never mind. I'd just like to say thank you, Scarlett. It's been absolutely delightful talking to you this evening. Well, this evening for us, this afternoon for you.
Thank you guys so much.
It's been absolutely fab. And, you know, maybe when we come round to reviewing Dumbo the film, you'd come on again and chat through your passion a little bit more with us.
I would love to. That would be fantastic.
Super duper.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for coming on, Scarlett. And for everybody that's listening, if you haven't gone and checked Touring Plans yet and you haven't subscribed, please go do. As you've heard from Scarlett, it's an amazing, amazing value. Just remind everybody, Scarlett, it's $11.95 a year. And what do they actually get for that?
You get full use of the site, the crowd calendar, hundreds of touring plans, plus you can create your own touring plans. You can also for free download the app onto your smartphone where you can optimize touring plans on the go, see current wait times, chat with other Disney fans, and then also anyone can access the blog, which has a ton of great touring information, restaurant and hotel reviews, tips on how to tour the parks with kids, all kinds of different things.
And this isn't just for Walt Disney World. You actually have another set of information for Disneyland as well, don't you?
That is correct. The Disneyland is a separate subscription. It's a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. I should know the price of it. I think it's $6.95, maybe? It's a little bit cheaper because, you know, it's a smaller park. There's not as much information. But yes, we do. We also have a lot of Disneyland information on the blog and everything as well. But yeah, the touring plans, the smartphone app, the crowd calendar, all of that for Disneyland as well as Disney World.
Are there any plans in the future to include any other Disney parks? The Paris one or Fervor Field?
So there's definitely some talk about possibly doing Disneyland Paris in the future. There's already an unofficial guide to Disneyland Paris. Mm-hmm. We're looking more at some other local parks first. So we're looking into adding Universal Orlando, especially with all of their big expansion and seeing so many more, you know, changes. We're looking into Universal right now is probably going to be the next thing we're going to include.
Ooh. Busy times for touring plans ahead then.
Yes, it is.
Well, if you want to fund any research trips to Disneyland Paris and you don't fancy going yourself, I'm sure me and Michelle won't mind, will we, Michelle?
Oh, definitely not. I don't mind taking a little badge saying I'm a researcher. Right, well, we'll let you go, Scarlett. Thank you ever so much for sparing the time. And we'll just need to bid you goodbye, so thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much. It's been fun. We'll be right back.
I'm going to share a little gem with you, something that myself and my family really, really enjoy. And it all relies on something called the Kuka arm. But first, some information before we review. Kuka is a leading German producer of industrial robots, and it's used in a variety of industries, from automotive and fabricated metals to food and plastics. The company name Kuka is an acronym for, using my best German accent here, Keller und Nappich Ausberg. Can't visualise the system? Well, let's have a little think about the Da Vinci Code. Remember that bit where Robert Langdon goes into the high-tech bank and receives the cryptex, and it was this kind of army thing? Well, it was a Kuka arm that retrieved it from the vault. Anyway, I'm moving off topic. Let me get back on what we're talking about. In 2001, Kuka developed the RoboCoaster, the first passenger-carrying industrial robot. The ride uses roller coaster-style seats attached to robotic arms and provides a roller coaster-like motion sequence to its two passengers through a series of programmable maneuvers. They also added the possibility that riders themselves can program the motion of their ride. Now, since 2010, Universal's Islands of Adventure theme park in Orlando has been utilising the Kuka arm robotic technology in its revolutionary indoor attraction, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. They took out a 10-year exclusivity arrangement with Kuka to use this specific robotic arm in a theme park setting. So unfortunately, Disney, who were planning on using it for a project around The Incredibles, it was shelved. However, prior to that 2010 arrangement with Universal, Disney had actually purchased a few. They then put this technology in to the sum of all thrills. Brought along my gorgeous son, Kieran.
Hi.
He's just going to give you a little bit of information about what it's like to go on this attraction.
Hello, I'm Kieran, and I'm going to introduce you to an attraction where you get to make your own ride, and it's called Sum of All Thrills. This ride can be found in Innovations inside the Epcot Park. Sum of All Thrills was created by Disney Imagineering and Raytheon to let kids and adults experience maths and science in an amazing way by designing a ride, then testing it. You can make your ride do loops, barrels, corkscrews, and much more. I like the part where you get to name the ride yourself. First, you join the crew. My tip is, get there early. By the afternoon's waits are over 30 minutes. When it is your turn, a cast member will take you into an enclosed cubicle for a pre-ride video which explains what's in store for you. Next, you are given your own plastic card. It's a bit like a credit card. You insert this card into your design station. In front of you is a large flat surface where in pairs you use tools to decide on variables such as speed, ascent, descent, angles, and also which ride you want. Bobsleigh, roller coaster, or jet. My favourite is jet. Finally, the cast member takes your card and inserts it into the simulator. Don't worry if you have any variables. You can get a little locker to store them in. Then you and your partner get into the simulator, strap yourselves in, and prepare yourself for the thrilling ride you and your partner have created. Inside the simulator, you see your view on a small display, and the simulator moves you. My opinion of the ride is that it's a good idea for people who want to overcome their fears of roller coasters, and every time you ride it, you can design a new version, but the best bit is you can show it to your friends via the internet when you get home.
Oh, thank you, Kieran. What do you think to that, Kim?
Sounds a bit too scary for me, if I'm honest, Kieran. Not a big fan of roller coasters.
Well, I've been in it, it's not that scary.
The beauty is, though, Kim, is that you can design whatever you want. So if you're a little bit frightened of the old roller coasters, you can put together a very pleasant ride. It doesn't have to have corkscrews. It doesn't have to have barrel rolls. You can have quite a tame roller coaster experience in the simulator, so it's probably a good way of getting you into going on scarier things.
And if you don't want to go on the simulator, when you get home, you could just go on the internet by going on Maths Moves You. I've had a little go on it when I was writing the script for this. So if you're not that simulator type, you can just go on the internet.
Yeah, so you can make the ride, you don't have to ride it. What I'll do is I'll post on our Facebook page a ride that Kieran's done and the ride I actually designed when I was there last April, and you can have a look. It is really good. You've got to be 48 inches tall to ride it. If you're wanting to add inversions, you must be 54 inches or above to do that. And as I said, it's a collaboration between Walt Disney Imagineering with Ravon. The website, as Kieran said, was www.mathsmovesyou.com. If you've actually been and ridden this ride and you've got the card somewhere at home, providing it's after the 16th of November, you can put the code in and it'll show you it as well. So I think this is a good fit for Innoventions because it's promoting maths and science in a fun way, and it's something I've used to get my children in school interested in the whole concept of mathematics being linked into a fun career, yeah, yeah, rather than something quite dull and boring.
No, it sounds very interesting. I still don't think you're going to get me on it, but who knows?
Yeah, but you can go on the website.
Kieran?
Hmm?
Is Stitch on there?
No.
Oh, I'm not interested then.
Well, maybe if we stuck a picture of Stitch on just for you.
Yeah, do you want that?
Oh, go on then.
Yay, I think we've persuaded you to give it a go, you know, Kieran.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Thank you for coming on this week, Kieran, and helping us go through that.
So
we'll have to give you another ride to review for us at a later date.
You'll be okay.
Segment as such, are we? We're just going to witter on for 5, 10, 15 minutes.
Well, I think I want to interrupt you there, Miss Kim.
Oh, dear.
Because a little bird told me that you and your beloved Aaron had a very special day over the last few days, and you got a monster surprise, and perhaps you could just tell us a little bit about how your surprise came to be and what it is, and don't go into in-depth details, perhaps, but just talk us through it a little bit, for us, love.
All right. Not that I'm bragging or anything, but...
Oh, God, no. We'd never do that.
On August the 13th, which is about a week ago, but yesterday, as we're recording, on the 14th, it was mine and Aaron's second year anniversary. And
aww.
Aaron said I wasn't to do anything. He wanted to plan everything. He had the day off work. I was working. Much to the shame. So I get home about 20 to 6. I get a text message. Don't come in yet. I haven't finished. Oh, I was like, for God's sake. I want to go. You know, when you finish work, the last thing you want to do is sit outside in car waiting to get in your own house. So I'm sat there for 5-10 minutes, and I think I even posted on Facebook, can't believe I'm sat outside my own car. And eventually I was allowed in. However, I was only allowed in the porch. And he gets a tie out. And I'm thinking, why has he got a tie? He then proceeds to blindfold me.
Now, I did say that I don't want any of that pinky stuff coming into the podcast, you know. Keep it clean, girl.
Well, I started to panic slightly because I have just finished reading 50 Shades of Grey. I didn't really like him that much, and I'm thinking, please tell me he's not trying to reenact a scene from 50 Shades of Grey. Because once I'm blindfolded, I'm then led to a coffee table where I'm having to sign a document. And it's like, what am I signing?
For a minute there, love, I thought you were going to say we're leading me to a coffin.
Not a coffin, a coffee table. Come on, Michelle, it was our anniversary.
Coffee table.
Where I had to sign a document. And well, I'm told it's a document. And I said, well, what is it? I'm not telling you. Well, what? I'm not signing it if you don't tell me what it is. Just sign it. And I'm thinking, oh, he really is reenacting a scene from 50 Shades of Grey, because she has to sign a document in that. All right, she's not blindfolded when she signs it, but she has to sign it. And then, so I signed that.
Are you sure it weren't second mortgage on your house?
Well, this is what I mean. It could have been all. It really could have been anything that I signed, because he wasn't going to let me move until I'd signed it. So I signed it. Then I feel this really heavy thing plonked on top of my head. What's that? I'm not telling you. Well, what is it? It weighs a ton. I'm not telling you. Well, what is it? And he really just won't tell me. So then he leads me to the kitchen. Meanwhile, as we're walking into the kitchen, this thing on my head banged into the door frame. I said, she could have told me to duck. He says, well, I didn't think. So after I'd negotiated my way under the door frame, after being knocked backwards, he leads me to the kitchen table. And he says, are you ready? I went, yeah. So I'm thinking, please don't get any implements out that have got anything to do with 50 Shades of Grey. Please don't have a selection of instruments. So he takes the blindfold off, and bless him, there's these 6 cupcakes that he'd made himself. And anyone that knows Aaron, he isn't a baker. He very rarely cooks. But he'd baked these 6 cupcakes. And on these cupcakes, it's spelled out, we are going to DLP for 30th. Which I kind of took as meaning that he's taking me to Disneyland Paris for my 30th birthday. Which is in November.
It's a good job we weren't planning on taking you somewhere like Denham Leisure Park, didn't it?
You can imagine how many cupcakes that would take. So I'm in floods of tears because I'm going to Disneyland Paris. I'm really excited. And he's like, well, don't you want to know what's on top of your head? I says, oh yeah, well, I best look, can't I? He says, well, read this first. So I read this contract, and I actually have it at the side of me, and it says, Kimmy's contract. I, Kimmy, promise to wear this stitch hat for all the journey to Disneyland Paris, including the train station to London and the Eurostar to Paris. And I've signed it. So, I absolutely adore Stitch. This hat is blooming massive. If you go to the Disney Store website where he got it from, the English one, I believe it is on there. And it is huge and it weighs a ton. But I now have to wear that on the train to London. And I have to wear it on the Eurostar Paris. So I'm going to look like a right numpton. But who cares, it's Stitch.
Yeah, and you are getting to go to DLP, so...
I'm so excited. Never been. Really looking forward to it. And I can't wait. But Michelle, it didn't stop there.
More?
I got a...
Well, I know these more pictures.
Well, yes, true, but let's pretend you don't know. Michelle, there's all more. Right,
no way, Kimmy.
I got a bag of gifts. These are my anniversary gifts. From our dog, yes, my dog shops, I got a Minnie Mouse Deluxe Agenda with gel pen. And I also got the latest Muppet film on DVD. Oldie Guns again.
Oh, isn't Troy clever?
Troy's very clever. Don't know where he gets all his money from. I also, from Aaron, got a vinyl Mation. And it was a Disney Cruise Line vinyl Mation. Confirming. Apparently, it is to confirm that we are definitely going on a cruise next year.
Yay!
Yay! So that's good. Yeah, it's a really, really cute little Vinylmation in a box. Oh. I won't take it out of its box.
Oh, you go after me on hat, keeping your vinyls in a box.
I know, you're rubbing off on me. But Michelle, gets better.
Go on, how can it get better than Vinylmations and Muppet DVDs?
Let's just remind people. I'm going to Disneyland Paris. He's booked a cruise He's booked a cruise for next year. I've got my Muppet DVD and my agenda and my Vinylmation. I then open the last present and it's a Dooney and Burke wristlet bag.
Oh, wow.
And it's the Disneyland Paris design.
Oh.
Which he said he didn't realise he could buy from the Disney Store UK until he listened to our show. So,
we put subliminal messages in our show for our husbands, really, aren't we?
But I can vouch he bought this from the Disney Store UK. It is a Dooney and Burke. It smells like a Dooney and Burke. I'm smelling my little wristlet. It came in fantastic. Oh dear, what?
I'm just sort of wondering, he's not got two imposters to pose on the telly over the last couple of days receiving a big check, has he?
Oh, I wish. But
for those people who aren't in the UK, a couple have just recently won the lottery over here, and they've won, is it 148
million?
148
million.
Oh. Very, very, very lucky people.
But no, I can vouch he bought this Dooney and Burke from the Disney Store in the UK. It came wrapped up, all in the proper Dooney and Burke wrapping. It's come with its serial number. It's come with its guarantee. It's not fallen off the back of a truck. And it's even got the... even left the price on, but his excuse is that I don't understand what euros are. Which is right, I don't.
What did you get, Aaron?
Well, what I got, Aaron, kind of fails in comparison, really. Aaron's into running at the moment. He's done a few 5Ks, 10Ks, marathons. He's done some at Disney. He's doing some at Disney next year. But he needed some new running gear. So I took him to a shop and he picked all his own running gear. So I bought him all that. But I also bought him a very expensive big bottle of whiskey. We ain't talking Jack Daniels. We're talking expensive stuff.
Oh, bless you.
And then he took me out for a meal. But I won't bore everybody with the details of the meal. But that was a fantastic way of finding out that I was going to Disneyland Paris.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm really, really pleased for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm pleased for me too.
Oh, dear.
Look, what I might do for our listeners is over the weekend, I shall take a photograph of me in this hat and everyone can see how ginormous this hat is compared to my little head.
Oh, bless you indeed.
Yeah.
Right, well, I suppose we better wind up the show. Oh, one thing I want to do before we sign off is the lovely Kathy Kelly, who was on our last podcast, has started up her own podcast. So if you do, as we were saying last time that it was coming about, her first episode is now available on iTunes, Special Mouse Podcast. I've just listened to it today and I'm absolutely blown away by it. It was an amazing show. So if you do have an interest in this area, or you just want to listen to Kathy because she's such a lovely person, have a little look for it in iTunes. And I hope she does really well because it was really well put together show.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give her a bit of a plug.
Do we have a question from our lovely other number one fan to answer?
Oh my heavens, I forgot all about that.
How can you forget about our Stephen?
I know. Well, we've got to the point now between Stephen and myself with all the questions he sent. I've got a backlog. I've got back on good questions. I have got a question from another listener called Lee. I'm not going to answer that, Lee, because I'm going to do a bit of research involving eating and meeting characters, and I'll get back to you on your question in a couple of episodes' time.
Hi, girls. Here is another question for the show. Might not interest everyone, though. Does anyone go on a mega diet before going to Walt Disney World? I know I do. And since January, I have lost 3.5 stone in preparation. Well done, Stephen.
That's amazing.
I know.
Since January as well. Oh, I think we should be going to Stephen for some training tips.
I know. Come and be my personal trainer, Stephen. And he said, well, the rest of the email says, probably just before I put it all back on when I go in October. Best program to use is MyFitnessPal, which is available on most smartphones and online. So easy to use, but you still have to have the most important thing, willpower. Not long to go for you, Michelle. Hope you enjoy your trip to Walt Disney World. Love the show, Stephen. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Oh, bless him. So, out of my group of friends, I think virtually everybody I know goes on a diet before they go to Walt Disney World. I know I've been on a diet before going to Walt Disney World this year, and I know Miss Kim's been doing quite fantastically on hers, haven't you, love?
I have been trying. I'm not going well next year, but I've got a very, very big target. I'm not going to share it, but it's a rather big target. But I can say that I've lost 15 pounds so far.
Woohoo!
Bam! Shell's done fantastic as well.
Well, I got on the scales this morning. My target before I go was 1.5 stone, and that's 21 pounds, and I have lost 20 so far, so I think I'll just about do it before I depart. It sounds like quite a lot of people then, obviously, try and slim down, especially if you've got the Disney dining plan, because obviously, wow, that's a lot of food. I have heard of MyFitnessPal. I do use MyFitnessPal. I think it is amazing. It's really, really good. It helps me count my calories to see how many calories I allow myself in a day. I don't bother paying for Slimming World, Weight Watchers, whatever, because at the end of the day, if I've got willpower, I might as well use this free smartphone app and save the £6 paying out to Weight Watchers and Slimming World every week and put it towards my next holiday. Sorry, I'm being a bit tight there, aren't I, Kim?
You are being tight, and you are sort of painting us Yorkshire lasses as being as tight as a duck's bum. But I do Slimming World, but I don't go to Slimming World because I kind of agree with Michelle. I don't like the idea of paying out every week. But I have my weigh-in every week at home. Every Sunday morning, I get weighed. I keep a record of it, and I follow the Slimming World diet. However, the first couple of weeks I was doing the Slimming World diet, it wasn't working, and I couldn't work out why. But after a quick chat to Aunt Michelle and a quick chat to Aaron, and I had FitnessPal on my phone anyway, we actually worked out that I was eating a lot more calories. Despite me following the Slimming World diet to a T, I was eating a lot more calories than what I should have done. So I also coincide Slimming World with my FitnessPal, and I do both. I keep a check on my calories on my fitness pal, but I follow the Slimming World diet.
Yeah. Well, a big part for me that I've done, not just as part of, you know, losing the actual pounds. For me personally, I've done a lot of walking as training. I'm very lucky where I live. There's lots of beautiful walks. And I've been going out doing, you know, quite a lot of walking just to get into the habit of walking for such a long time, because it does take it out on your feet and your knees and your hips, all this extra walking. And I have in the past particularly struggled because of fatigue levels, and I do have a fatigue issue. So for me, it's all about building up my stamina as well to be able to cope. And especially I'm going in August when it is at high temperature, high humidity. So that's a big part of my training, not only just, you know, toning up and losing the odd pound or two.
Well, I hope that kind of answers your question, Stephen. And if anyone else has got any sort of weight loss stories they want to share, or any hints and tips on what they do before they go on holiday, drop us a line. We'll be interested to hear, and we absolutely love, as we've said before, hearing from you.
Definitely.
I just want to say before we go, Michelle, we have had a new review on iTunes.
Ooh.
And it was by Epcotastic, and he's given us 5 stars. I won't read out the review, but it's a very nice review. And I just wanted to say a big thank you from me and Michelle to Epcotastic for leaving that review.
Yeah, and if anyone else wants to leave us some nice, lovely feedback on iTunes, please do so. We'll give you a name check in an upcoming show. It's always nice to hear from our listeners and what you think of the show, because as Kim said, we do this for fun. We don't get any sponsorship from, you know, the likes of touring plans or hotels or travel agencies, whatever. It's just me and Kim doing our best to put something together that we enjoy doing and hopefully you guys enjoy listening to.
Definitely. So I suppose we better go, because we have sort of been rambling on about nothing for the last sort of half an hour.
We have indeed, my dear.
Not been a very structured episode, this episode.
No, it's been a bit rambly. But can I just say, people, if you want to just keep a close lookout on the Mini Minxes Twitter feed, I will be posting photos over the next 2 weeks from my lovely jollies in Walt Disney World. So if you're wanting to see some up-to-date news and pictures of what I'm getting up to, make sure you're following us at the Mini Minxes.
Definitely. Next episode is out on the 3rd of September, so stay tuned for that. Michelle will be with me for some of the show, some of the other show. I think I'll have a guest host with me. So stay tuned to find out who that may be, and if she's better than Michelle, Michelle might be going bye-bye.
Kim? Oh, you're being very wicked today, you know, love.
I know, I'm in a very mischievous mood tonight. I don't mean it.
Oh, that's all right then.
Not till you give me my vinyl mations anyway.
Ooh, might forget them now. So if you wish to email the show, we can be reached at contact@theminiminxes.co.uk. Find us on Facebook. I've already said the Twitter address. And mini kisses. Mwah.
See you all later. Have a nice couple of weeks. Mwah.
There's no